The holiday shopping season is in full swing. Chances are that at least one person on your list is going to want something in the high-tech gadget category.
But as always, there's a ton of choices out there, and it can be tough to know what's going to be a hit under the tree and what's going to be a flop.
Here to point us in the direction of some cool technology gifts is Omar Gayaga. He's technology culture reporter at the Austin American-Statesman. Omar, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's start with tablets, if you will. They've been a popular gift the last few years, as I understand it. Is the iPad still the big name, or are there other tablets on the market that that might trump them in gift buying this year?
Yeah, tablets are still very hot. PCs, you know, traditional PCs, laptops, and desktops are slowing down, and tablets are continuing to grow. Microsoft has made a really big push this year with its Surface 2 tablets. But iPad really is the one that I continue to recommend. The iPad Air, which is lighter and thinner than last year's model at about the same price, it continues to dominate. There are some great tablets on the Android side, but really the iPad continues to dominate on the tablet side at least.
What about tablets for kids?
There's actually one that I've been recommending called the Nobby Junior, Nick Junior Edition, which is a very kid-friendly tablet. It's kind of rubberized so it doesn't fall and break like my iPad have with my kids. It costs $140. Yeah, they break very easily in the hands of four-year-olds. For $140, it's branded with Dora the Explorer and a lot of the Nick Junior characters. It's internet safe. It blocks off internet content and has apps that are meant for that age group, you know, between 3 and about 7 to 8 years old. So that's a good one for that age group.
Before we move on from the tablets, just wanted to get your take on why the iPad. There's a lot on the market. Why is that still the top choice and why you're recommending it?
Well, really because it got there first. I mean, it got the advantage of being the first really good, solid tablet at around that price range, and there have just been so many good apps developed for it that Microsoft and on the Android side, there really aren't as many good tablet apps for the competitors than there are for the iPad. And every year, Apple continues to come out with, you know, faster versions of it, thinner versions of it, lighter versions of it, and keeping it at the same price. And now there's the iPad Mini, which, you know, for I believe it's $299, you know, you get the same Retina display, the same amount of apps, but in the smaller, lighter form. So, I mean, really, Apple is kind of running the table on tablets, and, you know, Microsoft's products on the Surface side just really haven't kept up. So I think, you know, there's definitely more competition this year than there was last year, but the iPad continues to be the one that dominates, that you just see everywhere and that people continue to buy.
And then any favorites in the Android world if people, for whatever reason, aren't sold on the iPad?
Yeah, the Samsung Galaxy Tab is a really good one. I believe it's a little bit less expensive than the iPad. And all of the Amazon Kindle tablets are very, very competitively priced. I mean, you can get an Amazon Kindle Fire for about half the price of an iPad Air. And, you know, it's not going to run as many apps. It's going to be more for consumption of media than creating media. But for most people that just want to watch movies or read books, you know, that's at $199, that's, you know, the perfect gift. So iPads are very versatile. They do a lot of things. If you want something that's a little bit more limited and much cheaper, you probably want to go with something like an Amazon Kindle Fire.
Well, let's move on to video game consoles. They're expected to be a big seller this year. And the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, they both hit the market in the last month. What can you tell us about those systems?
Yeah, this is a very unusual year. Last year we had the Nintendo Wii U debuted, and this year we have two big console launches, both within a week of each other, which is very, very unusual. These, the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, the predecessors, you know, were 7, 8 years old. So this is the first, you know, next generation set of consoles that we've had in a really long time. They're pricey. The Xbox One is $500. The PlayStation 4 is $400. And that's with one controller, no games. You know, you're going to be paying tax, you're going to be paying for an extra controller, you're going to be paying for accessories probably, and the games are $50, $60. So these are not for casual gamers. These are pretty much for the frontline hardcore gamers that want to be the first to play Call of Duty on these next-generation consoles and play a lot online. So I would recommend these for really hardcore early adopter gamers. For more casual gamers, I would kind of stick with you know, the older consoles or the Wii U, which actually the best game I've played all holiday season isn't on either of those. It's Super Mario 3D World for the Wii U, and that's not even on either of those new consoles. So there's a lot of hype and a lot of excitement around the Xbox One and the PS4. but it's very early. There are very few games, and they're still very expensive. So you got to think about that.
Do you have a sense if somebody's really insisting on getting one of the two new ones, if one is, say, more kid-friendly than the other?
Well, if you're going for kid-friendly, I would go Nintendo, honestly. But of the two, I mean, they both have parental blocks and things like that. The Xbox One is making some people leery because it comes with a camera. It comes with a Kinect kind of always-on camera that's always watching you. And that might make it easier for kids to control. You know, they can use voice commands that the camera will recognize them as they walk into the room. But some parents might find that a little creepy. They
yeah.
might worry that their kids, you know, it's going to be recording their kids and putting stuff online. Microsoft has fought really hard to kind of combat that perception. But, you know, you are going to have an always-on camera in your house, you know, facing you in the living room all the time. And some parents might worry about that. The PlayStation 4 is... from my view, seems more geared toward older gamers. There's not a lot of kid-friendly games on it so far. There's great action games, great shooter games, but I haven't seen a lot of kid-friendly games on the PlayStation 4 yet.
I'm a big fan of going with the last generation stuff. You know the games are out there. You can see reviews of them. You can usually find them used. Is there a danger, though, of those being obsolete and running out of things to do with them?
Not really. And, you know, the biggest game of the entire year was Grand Theft Auto V, and that's not on either of the new consoles. That's, you know, you have to have a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox 360 to play that. So, you know, people are still playing that game. There's still great new games coming out for both of those consoles. I think it's going to be about a good year or so, at least, before you start to see stuff peter out on the older consoles, because they have huge installed bases. If you're a video game maker, you're going to want to make a game for the biggest audience possible. And right now, that's not the Xbox One or the PS4 or even the Wii U. That's the older Xbox 360 and PS3. That's what most people have in their house right now.
Well, moving on to smartphones, we see two top competitors are the iPhone and the Android phones. Would you recommend that people currently with an iPhone, is it worth it to upgrade to the iPhone 5S?
I think if you have anything older than an iPhone 4S, if you have an iPhone 4 or anything older than that, I think it's definitely worth the upgrade. The camera is much better. It's a speedier phone. It runs on LTE networks, which are much faster than the old 4G ones. It's definitely a good upgrade, and there's a lot of holiday deals right now. You can get an iPhone for under $99, an iPhone 5S or a 5C, you know, really cheap right now, especially if you trade in your old device. If you already have an iPhone 5, I would probably hold off until next year. I would wait a little bit. It's not that big of a step up from the 5 to the 5S. There's the fingerprint scanner on it, which is kind of neat, but you probably won't use it all the time. The camera's better, but you know, you really got to think about the 2-year contract if you're under that, and I would hold off if you have a 5.
We heard from a listener named Jen. She's wondering, her parents are 91 and 92 years old. They just email and they do Google searches. Should she get them a desktop computer or something else that's higher tech but easy to use?
That's a good question. I mean, a lot of it would have to do with what they already have and what they're used to. I mean, you don't want to introduce something that's going to completely throw them for a loop and that they're not going to be able to get used to right away. You know, you want to get something that they'll be up and running. If they already are used to a desktop PC, you might want to think about a laptop that's maybe a little bit lighter but runs the same kind of software, or a tablet even. I mean, if they're Windows users, a Microsoft Windows tablet might be good that can run the older software but also run, you know, kind of touch-friendly tablet stuff. I found people, above 60 really tend to like the Amazon Kindle devices and also really gravitate toward the iPad. You know, the iPad would be a completely different experience, but it's intuitive enough that I think they would probably get it right away.
Omar, that's all the time we have. Thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy holidays.
You too. That's Omar Gayaga. He's technology cultural reporter at the Austin American-Statesman.